It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
That's all right. That's my fault.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi.
I was just looking at a movie trailer during the break.
Yeah, me too.
BDK grabbed us. You got to see this. He's going to so excited about everything.
He does.
But what's it called? The Happening?
The Happening. M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Mark Wahlberg. Very good trailer for that.
Starts next Friday.
We have movies on the brain. Without further ado, let's not keep this gentleman waiting any longer. Certain individuals, I really, really believe, were put on this earth to be stand-up comedians. And I think this guy could do it for 7 hours just standing there and be funny. Let's welcome Bob Saget. Bob, are you there?
That's the kindest thing anyone's ever said about me. Thank you.
You know, I mean it, though, because let me tell you why. Your stand-up is you stand on a stage and just go. And I know everybody writes material, and you couldn't do it if you weren't prepared and all that crap. But the fact is, it doesn't sound like that. It doesn't look like that. And it's great. I love watching you. And how are you?
That's really nice. I'm good. I want to go to The Happening with you. I just want to watch people fall off the roof.
That's what they
do. What the hell is that? It's like 5-6 people falling off the roof and not even moving.
You know, it's in the trailer, so I'm not giving anything away. This is why BDK, one of the he's a movie reviewer on one of the other shows, and he should be on Ritalin. And he grabbed me, and his big thing was the guy that throws himself in front of a lawnmower.
That just makes
the movie for this guy.
I actually know somebody who was mowing the lawn on the mower. It would have been on America's Funniest Home Videos. The mower came back and, like, took his toes off. It was terrible. Oh. But he's fine. He's doing fine.
That's the important thing.
See, that's what makes me laugh right there.
Got a tow trucker.
Hey, Bob, how is your love life, Bob? Because I think we might have a few things in common. I want to talk to you about it.
It's good. I've done nothing wrong.
So. Stick to that.
There will be no trial, and I'm not being TMZ'd at the moment, which is great. I have a girlfriend who's a lawyer, so that's going to be very expensive.
Oh, that's a bonus party.
I know.
You're in such trouble. That's incredible. Yeah, I mean, she'll have to be your girlfriend for the rest of your life then.
I don't know. You try, but I was married once, and that worked out.
And you have kids, right? Do you have a couple of kids?
I have three. I have three daughters.
Three daughters. Okay.
I have a gaggle, and they're great.
I have two. I'm a divorced. I'm a single dad also. And now, when you say single dad, I just want a point of clarification right here. When you're talking about a single dad, does that mean you're the prime custodial parent, or you do the part time thing, or how does that work?
I'm a custodial. I have keys on both sides.
Big ring.
I live in the boiler room. I have a mop. No, but the thing is, I'm one of those guys. I have like a weird life. It's kind of like a dual existence.
And I want to talk about that, because I know exactly what you're talking about, and I'm fascinated by it.
Yeah,
I
don't know if they do this to you. They go, I don't know what your life plan is with your ex-mate, but people go, oh, do they live with you or do they live with her? And I'm like, well, that's like strange, because they live with both of us.
Right.
We have like a, I guess you'd call it a joint custody thing, but that's the last. All that's on our minds is what's good for them.
Right. And I'm with you on that one. And really, going through something like that, we shouldn't be talking to a person who makes his living making people laugh to discussing this heavy subject. But
it's pretty funny to raise girls anyway, though.
It is, and mine are soon to be 13, soon to be 11, and so I'm right now getting to that particular. Yeah, and I'm just starting to see the signs with the 13-year-old, and I don't know what the hell I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy a big bottle of Jameson's Irish whiskey and just sit in a corner.
I actually pre-bought feminine hygiene products about 4 years early. I got them in bulk, and then somehow they time it out lunarly, and it's a nightmare. And I don't know how my girlfriend, I think my mother's on the same cycle, my GPS woman, everybody.
I agree with that. Incidentally.
If I had took a cab, the driver would be on the same cycle. My whole life is one giant hormonal loop.
You are going to be appearing at the Warner Theater this Friday. If you'd like to go see Bob, you can get your tickets at LiveNation.com. And, everybody talks about your transition and the fact that, oh, my God, it's the clean-cut guy. You know, it's the guy from Full House. You make that. And when, on your website, you talk about Bob embraces his dark side.
Right.
When you've been doing stand-up, obviously you were doing stand-up even before Full House came along, right?
Yeah, I was 17 when I started doing it, and all my jokes were weird. And then I got a you know, it was a gig, you know, and I got to play a guy that was clean. That was the problem.
Right.
I was just,
did that drive you crazy a little bit?
Yeah, I was out of my mind. But I stayed close with the whole cast because I was kind of like, let's get the dog high kind of a person. Oh, Bob's going to love this dialogue this week.
See, that would have worked for me if they did that little segment on Full House. I would have enjoyed that.
There's some stuff, I don't know, there's always some YouTube something that shows, you know, outtakes. But I stayed close with everybody because I was nutty and doing stand-up in my other time. But I don't know. I wouldn't turn the clock back at all because I think it just set fire at Universal.
That's right.
You hear about that thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's screwed up.
Well, we were talking about anybody that's ever been, and obviously you've done it for, you know, most of your life. You've been around TV lots and back lots and all that. And, you're talking about plywood. It's all everything's plywood.
Yeah. And a lot of film stuff, so it's like stunk. It was like chemicals. But then they said, no, the MTV Video Awards are going on, even if it burns down.
Yeah, even if the fire catches. Even if Charlize Theron is, the dress catches on fire, they will go on with the show.
Her dress catches on fire just when she walks. She's so hot.
She's a hottie. She's
so hot that Michael Jackson's hair catches on fire when she walks by.
You know, when you go to Bob's website, the video, what the hell is the name of it?
Rolling with Saget.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe my name. I had to say my name in a sentence. That's not good.
Rolling with Saget is, there's so much stuff. Before I talk about that, you did a thing with Jamie Kennedy, the Jamie Kennedy Experiment,
which I really love the show.
If you want any reason to go to a website, just go to the website to see a clip of the Jamie Kennedy Experiment that features Bob Saget. It is without question. I unhinged my jaw when they opened the refrigerator and they show the contents of your refrigerator.
You know, there's two guys that are dead. Thank you. That was Jamie's show, and he did that was done by these guys, Fax and Adam, really smart guys that are comedy guys. And they said, what do you want in this fake house that's not your house when we haze people? And I said, I want porno, booze, and pork products. And this was way pre-Borat with the head of the, what animal was in the fridge?
It was a pig's head. And here's what's great about the pig's head, and it makes no sense. You don't even know, what is the kink that would involve a pig's head, but it's sitting in your refrigerator.
It's something I have in there. And then the freezer is just full of vodka.
It's just vodka in his freezer.
And half the people, they did a fake tour bus.
It's fantastic.
Really,
yes, and that's the editing was fantastic. They isolated the right people in that. It's a simple concept. I'm not ruining it, but I'm not giving anything away here. It's a tour bus. They actually take the tour bus to a house, and they think they're going into Bob Saget's house. And Jamie Kennedy runs down the stairs, and you hear glass breaking, and said, "Hey, you can all come in now." And then Bob shows up, and it's just—it is brilliantly funny. I have a question about when you were doing stand up and Full House at the same time, or after it became the phenomenon that it was, and then you're doing your stand up. Have you had people, I'm sure you have, and you've probably been asked this before, have you had people do the old walkout thing at a comedy club?
Because it's like in Vancouver, an elderly lady at a casino left, but I think she just wanted to get to the hotel room before me. She was like, just give me 5 minutes and I'll be up there. Let me just clean this groomage up. she actually uses a floor waxing machine to wax. That's how old she is, but that's not nice. But
she wanted to see the Bob Saget from Full House, didn't
she? That's right. She wanted me to be cleaner. But most people know it. Now it's it's really hilarious. I have so much fun, because I'm lucky. It's like a college kids in there. The weird part is, coming into DC's been really great to me. I've played the Lisner a few times, and coming into that Warner Theater is like really nice. But girls, college people that don't know any better, flash me their chests and stuff. There's some men that do it with.
And you welcome that. You welcome that, right, Bob?
I don't really. It's like weird. They do it at the end of the show. What am I going to do then?
Say thank you and move on.
In the middle of the act is good because then you could spend 30 minutes on each one. But
which paid you more, Full House or America's Funniest Home Videos?
Well, the video thing was, people always thought my jokes sucked, and I was like, no, I don't disagree with you because it was a blooper show and people got hit in the nads for 8 years.
Right, and wasn't that just a show up and do it kind of show for you? I mean, let's be honest.
I really, I, I have a weird problem, which is I give 1,000% whenever I do something. So
you wrote that. Please, I was just trying to distance you from it. You didn't write those jokes, did
I
you?
I wrote it with two Canadian guys, so I blame it on Canada. I blame everything on Canada.
You know, here's the thing.
It was 55 pages a week that we wrote, and I did a lot of weird subliminal dirty stuff, but nobody really knew it. But I would say stuff like, here, these clips are going to spew right into your face. And I said that on the air, and people just stared.
I'd love to know where they get those audiences from. I'm very curious about
that. They bust them in from circuses. And the funny part was they, throw their heads back in ill-timed, because it's all editing. I mean, I think they grab people from other shows, people laughing from America's Funniest People,
It's the people that didn't get the circus.
Yeah, it's really sad.
They bring those people that just didn't understand the circus. They bring those people in.
It's carny second-tier people.
It was
fun, though, because people really did laugh all over the world because it's universal, Sure. It's very much like really good Spanish television.
I always had one thought when I was watching the funniest videos. And you don't have to answer this honestly.
I will.
What percentage of videos were BS? Because towards the end there, I was like, oh, come on, that guy. And not from your end, not from the producer's end, but people sending in ones that were just, you have a camera that's on a tripod and the guy, gets hit by, in the nads with the ladder. I mean, it just didn't seem legit to me.
I would say we telestrated some clips. We really did. I mean, I showed them on the air and said, these are set up, these are fake, where a guy rolls
That's right. Towards the end, you did do that, didn't you?
Yeah, and a guy rolls into a pie. I mean, he gets out of bed and falls in a pie. I mean, I don't know what the pie is doing next to his bed.
Good morning, honey.
Or people would always be there telling their kid, throw the ball as hard as you can at my crotch.
Perfect.
You could see, the filament pulling the cat. That's the bad part.
Take three.
Yeah, that got old, but you know what? It's funny. I just did a big benefit in L.A. for the Scleroderma Research Foundation, which I'm on the board, and Tom Bergeron came to it, and it was hilarious. He was he's a really nice guy. Yeah.
So. We always called him, we've had him on the show actually about three or four times, and I always, we refer to him as the self-loathing Tom Bergeron.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah, very nice guy.
There's no way to host a blooper show or a clip show on this earth and not make fun of yourself for doing it.
I know.
You're looking into the camera going, oh, here's another wedding. Here's something that doesn't happen with kids.
You know, I'm on your website when you talk about the show, obviously you have embraced your dark side. And thank God for all of us that you have. Will you ever go back to the family side again, Bob? Will you ever return to that kind of television?
I was on the One versus 100 show.
No, that's pretty. That's a game show, but it's not. It's
It has an edge to it.
It's a little edgy.
I get to say some stuff,
right?
And I don't think it's back. They don't know what they're doing right now, which is fine by me because I'm. I actually liked doing it. I thought it was good for that kind of show. Mm-hmm. But I'm working on some new stuff that's more irreverent. But yes, I would like. I like to do stuff that fits all different kinds of audiences.
And what is it? The thing is, when I think of you, and when I was getting ready to do this interview, I've always wanted to interview you because all you hear about with Bob Saget, oh, man, this is a few, I'm saying 5-6 years ago. This is when you hear, oh, my God, you wouldn't believe this guy. He's so dirty. You got to go see his show. Because you're not. I mean, you're as dirty as anybody that uses language in a comedy show, and that's a lot of comedians. But the thing is, that generated so much heat for your stand-up. I think it's got to be enormously satisfying because you get this image going into it, and it's almost like a head start when you're doing a comedy show.
It's funny because it's kind of like a mission statement of I'm not that guy that looks that was on that show and
right.
shows, and I'm not the guy that looks like your dentist or your neighbor. but that's kind of the way in the door, which is kind of sick.
Right.
Your mother said I could come in. I'm Michelle's dad. That's just not good.
That's not good at all.
But I really I love it because there's been a organic groundswell. That sounds gross. From my audience, they've tunneled into my home, and they're all of age because I have a laminating machine. I can give them an ID if they need one.
Bob's IDs. It's a wonderful side business that you have going
right now. Leave an eye in front of it because I don't believe in communicable. But it's so much fun to come out. When I say come out, I mean in an older man. They say I'm a DILF. I don't know if I could say that.
Hey, a DILF. Yes. A dad, I'd like. Hey, very good.
See?
I like that a lot.
You are.
I'm going to steal that.
Conway, that was DILF on golf. I don't know.
That's yes. When you're doing your stand-up, and more importantly, I want to talk about Entourage. When you were on Entourage, this is when I had my moment of Bob Saget confusion. Because there's the scene where you walk in and you're the next door neighbor and you're introducing yourself to the guys.
Right.
And, you know, you're saying, don't bang my daughters and that whole thing. And I'm completely and utterly confused because I really either you played it so well. I said,
there was not much to do.
Is there I have to ask you, and it might be a stupid question, but how accurate is this? Because I really felt I'm almost looking at what Bob Saget might be like, because A, you would be nice enough to bring by a fruit basket.
It actually had Full House DVDs in it. That was not my idea. I believe that was, I have a couple buddies that work on the show, Doug Allen, I've known forever, who was the EP and exec producer and writer, and then and Rob Weiss and a guy named Cliff Dorfman, and I just known, and Chris Henchy, they're like the guys that wrote the show. And so they kind of wrote it. They really did. And then I just kind of changed it. We went through a change of it to make him a little bit more ballsy, I guess would be the, if I'm allowed to say that.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah, a little more ballsy. So when you look at Rolling with Saget and then you combine that with the Entourage, and I'm looking at a guy, I'm saying, God, man, I want to party with this dude. At least that's the image that I'm getting, Bob. And if that's what you're going for, mission accomplished. It really looks good.
Thank you. You know, it's just silly because we're in such a silly celebrity world where people think that clubbing is like the answer. We watch all these shows on the E! Channel and stuff.
Right.
And it's like, wow, I actually enjoy going out with my friends, and sometimes, not that often, because you get up now these days, everybody's got a camera in your face, and TMZ comes over and goes, hey, Bob, how you doing? Ooh, you get that car with Olsen money? Or
you know,
dude, you know, how's your mother? You know, I just like start talking to them about their own mom. And
I've always had a thought about those people, like Harvey Levin. So why the hell isn't anybody stalking that guy? Why doesn't somebody has sent up the camera crew, you know, when he's coming up to pick up the paper in his underwear. Why aren't they out on his front porch? I'm curious about
it. And the weird part is it is compelling to watch. That's the,
yes, it is.
The strange part. And so that's where it works.
We all watch it.
I know. But I just like to go out and hang out with my friends and just, and sometimes it's fun to do the scene, not that often because I'm not, you know, I'm 52 now. It just looks, how you know, George Hamilton do I want to look at a certain point? Although he's cool.
He made it work for himself. I mean, look at that guy.
He's tanner than the sun.
He's wonderful. And, you know, hey, I really urge everybody to go see your stand-up because it's a real treat. And, Bob, we really do appreciate you taking the time to talk to us and coming on the show. The show is live at the Warner Theater. It's this Friday. Get your tickets at LiveNation.com. And you got a million things going. One versus 100. How I Met Your Mother on CBS. I Loved Farce of the Penguins.
Thank you.
I mean, was it tough to get, just really quick, was it tough to get Sam Jackson to do that? Because he makes that movie.
The weirdest thing that happened. He actually he told me, I saw you on Entourage. What do you want to do?
And oh, man.
It was the same kind of thing. And then I literally had to know in like a day because he was going to go shoot a movie in Europe.
Right.
And he recorded it 2 days later for me, the first take of it. The first draft of it. And then we had to go back. We did a lot of rewriting because the movie was made out of nothing.
Well, you're the greatest
movie was
man.
Made out of air.
You know, I hope everybody gets a chance to see you stand up and, you know, they can see you on HBO with the special. You're a good man, Bob Saget. We appreciate you taking the time to talk to us.
I can't thank you enough for being so nice. Thanks, man.
Thanks a lot. Bob Saget, everybody. That's great. He is, Jamie Kennedy.
Guy.
Really. Go to Bob Saget. I think it's BobSaget.com. Mm-hmm. Go to the website and look at the Jamie Kennedy Experiment.
Well, I watched that show.
Jamie Kennedy's also in Rolling with Bob Saget, right. Which is, you know, and he's kind of an enigma. But, you know, I think what you see is what you get in a lot of what he does.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Just a funny mf-er.
He just pours out of him. He just pours out of him.
You laughed really good at everything guy. He said.
He is one of those people that absolutely just fries me.
He can say anything and make me laugh.
And you laugh.
And they open up the refrigerator, you know, because they're just making him out to be this depraved guy, and it's in his house, and you see a pig's head. And they do it. It's just like, what the hell is the movie? Saw, you know, where the guy's got a pig's head on,
right.
And they do a close-up of it, and they open the freezer up, and it's just filled with vodka. And, you know, they're at Saget's house, and we don't even know if it's his real house or not. It's he's a good guy. Very, very funny. All right, are we ready for the pets? Beth-Ann,
okay. Yes.
For some reason, I am putting this all on you.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, right now, it is your chance to win $200. We're going to try to play Pet Idol. I'm not talking about Dog Idol. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about Cat Idol. I am talking about Pet Idol. Very simple.
You have a singing turtle.
Did you do this yourself? Beth-Ann put the intro together.
I see.
If you have a singing cat, singing dog, singing horse,
uh-huh.
You know, and not necessarily singing, but it's not exclusively barking. This is not the bark-off.
No. Noise.
This
sounds.
Is like, yarr! We're going to give you a chance right now at 877-365-3636. Call us with your pet if you have what we determine to be the finest singing pet you will win $200 American. Have I explained this properly?
Yeah,
do you think people are going to get this?
Just something that we can hear that they do over the phone.
Yes, it could be a cockatoo. It could be a bird, even though that's two-legged.
Right.
But you called it four-legged idol.
But then I changed it to animal idol.
Yeah, you're clever that way. So get on the line and get on the air and play pet idol, four-legged idol.
Whatever.
877-365-3636. Your chance to win $200 American is coming up right after this.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.